Good morning and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of the Moili'ili Honganji. Moili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.moili'ilihonganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by Mrs. Jolene Nakamatsu in memory of her parents, Richard and Shizue Okamura. Our speaker this morning is Reverend Alan Urasaki, Supervisory Chaplain at the Federal Detention Center. Good morning, Reverend Urasaki.
Good morning, White Way listeners, this is Reverend Alan Urasaki speaking to you on this beautiful Saturday morning. I hope you are doing well and staying safe as we slowly get back to our normal, or should I say, the new normal way of life. This morning, I would like to share my thoughts with you on working as a prison chaplain for the past 20 years. I will be coming up on retirement from the federal prison this coming January. And as many people have asked me to share something about my prison work, I would like to share with you, and I've titled my talk today, Shinan Walks into Prison with Me. Despite armed guards, gigantic fences topped with razor wire, and peers with a penchant for trouble, many inmates, men and women, in prisons across the country are becoming interested in the teachings and practices of Buddhism while they are incarcerated. Currently, there are more than 2 million people incarcerated in the United States. And, nice to say, the majority are not Buddhist. But sorry to say that, yes, there are still Buddhists in prison. Hard to believe, I know, but true. In the federal prison system alone, of over 120,000 inmates, less than 1%, or about 1,200 inmates, identify themselves as Buddhist. Of those, there might be very few Jodo Shinshu followers. Most of the inmates come from the meditative traditions like Zen, some Tibetan, some Soka Gakkai, Theravadin. Some follow ethnic, cultural, and family traditions like the Chinese, Vietnamese, and Thai Buddhists. But many inmates who have become converts to Buddhism are interested in the practice of meditation, a way to help them deal with life in prison. Where most people on the outside only think that inmates are the worst that society has to offer, I instead see a continually growing sangha of human potential searching for a way to find peace, wisdom, and compassion in a place of cold walls, iron gates, and razor wire. In January 2002, Shinran first stepped foot in prison with me. As I began a new journey in my ministry as a chaplain with the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I was hired as the first Buddhist chaplain in the federal prison system. The primary mission of a chaplain is to provide pastoral care and religious accommodation for all inmates, regardless of their faith, or if they have any faith. In other words, I just do not minister only to the Buddhist inmates. I am there for everyone. I become minister, teacher, counselor, and advocate for all inmates. Every day, when I enter the prison, I carry a duty belt of security tools. My keys, gloves, handcuffs, flashlight, a radio, pepper spray, and body armor. But more importantly, I carry my spiritual tools, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. It is with these spiritual tools that gives me faith, guidance, and protection when interacting with those who have committed crimes to victims and society. To those of you who have never stepped foot in temple or heard the Buddhist teachings, through the infinite working of wisdom and compassion, I'm able to meet and minister to inmates and hopefully change them for the better. I have numerous opportunities to share the Buddha Dharma through worship services, study classes, personal counseling, and mentoring relationships with inmates and prison staff alike. Each day, chaplains are entering the spiritual and moral darkness of prisons, despite its challenges and dangers. Such a ministry can be intense and stressful, yet for those like me, whose karmic conditions are manifested in prison ministry, there is nothing more rewarding than to be what Shinran called a Zenjishiki, a fellow traveler along the path, to those who are seeking a path to follow to help them become law-abiding citizens again. About 3 years ago, an inmate told me that he was, looking at all the books that we have in the chapel library, and he came across this one book that he was interested in. And he read that book over and over, and he told me that he felt that that book was really speaking to him. Now, I don't mean that it actually spoke to him, but it was one that really touched his heart and soul. He read it over and over again, and it really helped him reflect on his life and helped him to do his time in prison. Can you take a guess at the title of that book? No, it wasn't the Bible or the Quran or the teachings of the Buddha. That book was The Buddha's Wish for the World. Does that sound familiar? Well, I hope so, because that book, The Buddha's Wish for the World, was written by the previous Monshu Koshin Otani. And that really kind of blew my mind. Out of all the books in our chapel, and we have a couple of hundred books on all the different religious traditions and faith, fiction, nonfiction, reference materials, the inmate happens to find this meaningful connection with Jodo Shinshu. You probably have the same book on your bookshelf, never read it and collecting dust, just like mine. Well, the funny thing is that even I didn't read it at that time. All I could say to the inmate was, "Oh, really? No kidding. I'll have to read that book." That was, as Piper Toyama says, that was a truly Nembutsu moment. The Nembutsu moment is the grateful realization of the inconceivable working of the vow. Chaplains play a vital role in keeping the institution running smoothly by being pastorally present, calming, and a stabilizing force when dealing with inmates and their families. I remember doing hospital visitations as a temple minister. On many occasions, I've seen that surprised look on families' faces when I knock on the door to visit. And they tell me, "Thanks, Sensei, but he's not dead yet." Even today, many members feel it is a bad omen to have the minister come to the hospital to visit before death. Chaplains are also seen in the prison as a bearer of bad news to the inmates. If the chaplain comes calling for you, it must be bad news. I have on many occasions informed an inmate of the death or illness of a loved one or family member on the outside. On one particular occasion, I informed an inmate, a female inmate, that her 5-year-old son was killed in a car accident on the mainland. She let out a cry that only a mother could over her child. As we grieved together, she asked me to pray for her and her son. And I did. I did not go through the theological exercise of, "Oh, Buddhists don't pray," or "Let me get the Christian chaplain." Her need at that moment went beyond words and religion. She and her son needed to be comforted and affirmed that infinite light and life, that all-inclusive wisdom and all-embracing compassion embraced her and her son at that most critical moment unconditionally. Just as we are assured of Amida's love for us in our darkest moments. Each day, Shinran and I walk this journey through life side by side with the incarcerated, challenging them to live better lives and giving them the spiritual tools to do so. Isn't it the same challenge that our temple ministers are faced with our members, using the same spiritual tools as did Shakyamuni, the Seven Masters, Shinran, and Lenyo? Our ministry must respond, guide, and challenge everyone to live a true and real life of Nembutsu, always guided and embraced by Amida's wisdom and compassion. I want to thank you for listening today, listening to the White Way program, and supporting this radio program and Mo'ili Lihonganji. This is Reverend Alan Ursaki saying mahalo and aloha. Have a great day in the Buddha's light. Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Reverend Ursaki, for your touching Dharma message. To re-listen to the message, please check our website at www.mo'ili'ili'honganji.org. Tomorrow, Sunday, November 7th, the speaker at our 9 a.m. BWA Hongo Zoom service will be Mrs. Kumika Soga, wife of Reverend Jeffrey Soga of Waipahu Honganji Mission. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mrs. Jolene Nakamatsu, and our speaker, Reverend Urasaki from the Federal Detention Center. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week when our speaker will be Reverend Shindo Nishiyama, resident minister of Jikoen Honganji Mission. Namo Amida Butsu.